Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 65, Physiology, Part 4. On the further development of digestion, when you finally get down into the actual metabolic system, we're looking primarily, of course, at the stomach and the large and small intestines, and also at those very important organs like the spleen and the liver, the pancreas, with their various secretions and the effects that what we eat or don't eat have on them. For example, Steiner speaks of the spleen as being the heart of the digestive system, that it brings rhythm into our digestive system. So we have muscular organs, and we could say, of course, all the muscles in our body are linked to our heart by the flow of blood, and the heart itself has the muscles, muscular quality, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily are capable of affecting rhythm in the same way the heart does. They need the help of the spleen. So what the spleen does is to take whatever we are eating, whenever we are eating, and make sure that it is processed through our digestive system as though we were eating, let's say, 3 good meals a day, every day, for our whole life. You know, that we're, the spleen tries hard to act as though we are on a good rhythm in our eating. And once again, in the old days, yes, that was the case. Maybe people didn't have as much to eat, but they generally kept to very regular rhythms, quite strictly. And being late to a mealtime or being a no-show at a mealtime was a very serious matter. So one might say that the spleen back then was an organ that was hardly noticed. Nowadays, we put such stress on it in the craziness of our eating habits, and that goes for all of us, including maybe especially Waldorf teachers, who with our extra meetings, and you know, you've just finished a year of school, you know what those last days are like and what it's like the week after school ends and the crises, the issues, the agenda items that come up, meetings are made longer. It's very, very hard, very hard. So our spleen is stressed, which is, it's not surprising then that we, although we don't use the word so much anymore, but we speak of splenetic people. We have the term spleen. He's full of spleen. A kind of irritability, a nastiness. Charles Baudelaire, the great French symbolist poet, wrote a poem called Spleen, in which he sort of sets the tone for the modern relationship to that organ. So just that little thing, you know, talk about that and the role of the pancreas and the liver, and especially what it takes. Well, let me just go back. I'm going to say what it takes to digest fat, but let's first talk about the stomach. So the cardiac sphincter has made sure that the bolus of food going down in through our esophagus is the right size, the right shape, is the right temperature, the right consistency. It lets it through, and then the stomach works on it and liquefies it to a far greater extent than the saliva was able to do. And of course, the stomach is, relatively speaking for our body, strongly unbalanced because it is so acidic. And fortunately, we have the wonderful mucus covering in the stomach, which remarkably is able to shield us from what otherwise would be a strong acid going through that. And we do sometimes experience that acid, sometimes a reflux. Sometimes when we have a bad stomach ache, we're literally the digestive juices are disturbed, and we can experience how strongly that acid can work on us. And also when we regurgitate, there again, we let out a substance which is quite acidic and carries a very strong and unpleasant odor. And then the stomach releases it into the intestine through another sphincter, the pyloric sphincter. And this release is of a substance which still has a long way to go, because the stomach acid cannot do anything with the fat that we eat. And this is, of course, a huge issue for us today. And here, this is not a bad thing to be talking about at this point, because as we get into the mysteries and the wisdom of our digestive system, of course, we're entering a realm which is a very painful realm for some children, which is a realm that they don't want to get into. And I'm speaking, of course, of children with digestive disorders and particularly eating disorders. And though I think Waldorf schools have a very small proportion of children like this, little by little it is growing. It's something that's so pervasive in our time. Even a Waldorf school can't get off scot-free. And here, this may be very helpful. You're awakening children in an objective way where everybody's sitting around talking about what it means to eat food and digest it, and why is there that great painting, The Last Supper? Why is that such a big deal? People sitting around a table and eating? Yeah. So, anyway, to show what is going on here, and particularly what fat goes through before it is fully digested, what that takes for fat to be broken down. And then we move, we have these wonderful polarities, of course, from the acid stomach to the very alkali intestine, which, again, if it bursts, if it's injured in any way, this can be fatal very, very quickly. Not only because of the alkali that's in it, not only because of the strong bases that live in that system, but also because it is filled with bacteria. And those bacteria are helping greatly in cooperation with, and even in a way creating, the chemical substances that are then acting on fats and other substances within us. So here we realize that we are inhabited, that we are, especially clearly in our metabolic system, we are like a forest. We are like a world. And we have a population of billions of creatures who are living within us, living a life of active reproduction, death, reproduction, death. A huge cycle, which is the way Steiner tells us at the time of Lemuria, this is the way the entire earth was, that plants were coming into being and growing up immensely like the beanstalk in the fairy tales, and then dying, and then a few hours later growing up again to huge heights and then dying. This growth and dying, which to a certain degree, we find the corpse of all of that in our fossil fuels, which still carry that powerful energy of growth at that time. And so in our intestinal life, we are a rainforest, but not like any rainforest that exists today. There have been in the last 2-3 years, very interesting studies being done about the human being as a biosphere of bacteria. How, number one, we are covered with bacteria. It's not just the intestines by any means. You know, our skin outside, our skin inside, our mucous membranes, everything is filled with bacteria, and the recognition that almost all of these bacteria are acting beneficially. They're helping us, and one of the reasons that we are so prone to illness these days is because of antibiotics that we, yes, destroy bacteria that might be inimical to us because it's out of balance, but along with that, we destroy bacteria which is extremely helpful to us. So the question of antibiotics, probiotics, what's all that about? That's an issue that can be taken up when we are talking about the intestinal system, as well as talking about acids and bases and their effect on different substances. And we'll be working with this in organic chemistry, though, of course, this year in inorganic chemistry, as Roberto Trusley shows, they're also working to understand acids and bases. So digestion is a perfect thing to learn about this year. And of course, you want to always be giving them numbers and statistics and, you know, what's the diameter of this tube within us? And if you stretched all of that out, how long would it extend? And the astonishment of what is crowded into our body. And maybe if you have a parent, as I was fortunate to have, who is a surgeon, and talking about, okay, you open somebody up, that takes a lot of skill without killing them, but sewing them back together and stuffing all that stuff back in, said that is quite an experience and quite an art. And you'll never get it quite as well done as the original manufacturer did. So this could also be a very interesting experience. Be prepared, dear teachers, that as you talk about this, of course, you're going to get the yuck and moans and groans. You will definitely get that. You will also have children who get sick from hearing this, not just getting kind of squeamish and queasy and nauseous. That will come, but also bringing their consciousness into this realm will get them ill, just as medical students are always getting ill from all the things they have to be thinking about and carrying. So, and that's okay. You know, don't feel you did a terrible thing. And you will also see that after a few days, and this is why I think it's good to begin with the digestive system, because it's a real threshold experience. After a few days, they stop it. They're you know, the responses go away. And they are really, really interested because you are really getting down to the nitty-gritty with them. You know, this is where your astral body is headed. This is where your astral body is getting active. And it's going to start awakening you here, not necessarily always in your digestion, but as I say, from the conversations that I hear them having with one another, it's about 99.9% food and eating and being hungry. So they are awakening there anyway, and we are, in a way, guiding them. Otherwise, they'd sort of stumble around there, and eating disorders are part of this stumbling and uncertainty about how to really take hold of that. And we are bringing real light into the darkness in the study of the digestive system.